Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, and you're
listening to My Darkest Hour with Stefan Brigati on LiveParanormal.com.
Tonight, have a great guest. She's been on the show in the past. Want to get a follow-up with her. Her name is Beth Darlington. Some of you might have known her when from Access Paranormal. I talked about them. I met them, I think in 2015 or something like that, in Las Vegas at an event. But it's great to have her on. She's very very into the paranormal, and she's done a lot of work, and I see her all over the place. So I thought it'd be a great chance to bring her on. And for those of you who are tuning in a little bit late, since I put the late note, you're listening to My Darkest Hour right here on LiveParanormal.com, and of course, History FM, iTunes, iHeartRadio, whatever format you're listening to us on. We do appreciate you checking us out every week. Things have been crazy. Like I made the announcement last week about the TV show coming up that we're really pushing on, and they have me on some pretty big deadlines and stuff. So I signed the contract a couple weeks ago, and they're already waiting for content because we're doing a big release coming up in March, so it's going to be exciting. So thank you guys for supporting the show, listening over the radio or over the internet, and we'll be definitely appreciating you guys continuing to follow us onto Paraflix, the paranormal platform, streaming worldwide coming in March. So thank you all. So let me go ahead and see if we can get that thing, or so we can get the investigation. Yeah. Our virtual investigation going, which we totally do. I don't see why not, but let's go ahead and see if we can bring her in. Hi, Beth, is this you? Hello?
How can you bring me in?
Hello, is anybody here with us? So that might have been somebody else trying to call in. Hold on. She is in London. So the international stuff, you guys have been with me for years. Know sometimes this can be tricky doing the service over the internet. But as we're talking, you know, you can look her up on, I have a few of the links up. And you can go ahead and look. You can also go to accessparanormal.com. And there's all kinds of listing things on there. It talks about the paranormal toolkits, a lot of educational tools, Access Paranormal Events. They have their own podcast as well. And where this could be here. Hold on. Hi, Beth. Is that you? Come on. I think he's calling through Skype. This is the great part of guys here about the behind the scenes as it happens. All right, there's a 111 number, so I'm assuming that's Skype. Or it could be an Australian number, because she did live in Australia. So, interesting. Let's see if I can get a hold of her from my side. Huh. There's only one Skype account showing, and I'm on it. So that has to be you. You guys are all ready for Valentine's Day. I know a few of you already told me you're going to try to go do some hiking and maybe some investigating out there. So that's always fun. And I do that all the time. For our anniversaries, I always want to go to a nice place to stay, you know, so I want to get, you know, take her to a different hotel, and usually I call to make sure that it is haunted. So, let me just try this again, see if this is her. See if I can bring her in.
Hello?
Yeah, I got you. Can you hear me? Beth? Hello, Beth?
Hello, me?
Yes, that is her. So let's try something. That sounded awesome. Can you hear me now?
Oh, okay. Oh, cool.
I can hear you. But I don't know why you can't hear me. So, let's try something else, since we're going to try everything.
You can hear me.
And that's the thing about the paranormal. You can try different things. Try different experiments, see what happens. All right. See if this works. All right, we're going to try something, and we'll be right back. For your listening enjoyment, you get to hear my theme song one more time. But here you go. Hello, Beth.
Hello.
Okay, so the whole time I said I was going to try something and play the theme music, I did absolutely nothing, and it just seemed to work. It's like a placebo going on or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I know, technology, honestly.
Seriously, I'm so overdue for a computer. I've had this computer for 3 years, and it's already outdated. It's terrible. So how are you?
I'm good, and how are you? It's been a long time.
It's been a very long time. See, like I was just telling the people a little while ago, the listeners out there, and there's a few, and they're wondering what's going on. So, but we're back in action, everybody. So it's all good. We met at the Las Vegas show. I forgot what year that was. That was such a long time ago.
Yeah, I think that was 2013 from memory. It could be wrong. That's a while.
Yeah, I was just thinking, was it 15 or 13? But I think it was 13.
Yeah, it was a long time. So yeah, we've known each other since then.
Yeah, and then I had you on the show that one time. I mean, that might have been 2015. So that's why I might have been confused. So great to have you back. Good to talk to you. You know, I follow you on social media. You know, I always. You know, we follow each other. I see you popping up all the time, and you look so busy, and you're just like everywhere. And that is so great. I'm so glad to see you're so active. And so, since we've had you on the show last, tell us a little bit more about what's been happening with you. What are you up to?
Wow. Well, as you can tell, a lot can happen in that particular time frame. So I was able to speak at Scarefest in Lexington, Kentucky about 4 or 5 years back. Went a couple of times as well. Obviously got to investigate Waverly Hills Sanatorium, the Queen Mary as well. Really great locations that, you know, sort of, you know, those little dream sort of spots you can tick off and say you've been to, and even some undisclosed locations around Texas as well, with the Kling Brothers, which is another sort of, you know, highlight, I guess you could say, which was really great. So investigated some great locations, obviously in your fabulous country, and also doing workshops and speaking spots around Australia as well. So I sort of teamed up with a couple of other people and went to have weekend workshops where we spend the whole weekend just involved in techniques about paranormal investigating and going and then checking out, you know, sort of abandoned asylums and sort of implementing what we've learned during the day. And it's been fantastic. And then, of course,
that's
as you
great.
Can tell, it is. And now, of course, I'm on the other side of the world, in the UK. So I've moved over about a year and a half ago. And obviously, with this situation, it's made things a little bit different to kind of keep going with that from a face-to-face perspective, but definitely so raring to go once the doors officially open slowly, however that's going to look, and get back into it. So I really do miss it. Of course, you know, here in the UK, it's another ball game on its own with the history that it has and the associations that have been around as long as they have here. It's going to be an amazing experience once things get to a bit of a normal again. So, yeah, I've been very busy.
Oh, absolutely. That's great. Well, what a great spot to move to. I mean, like you said, the history and so many places to go and investigate. Even just London alone has so much history and so many stories about it. You can write encyclopedias of books about the history and the hauntings of London in itself.
Oh, yeah, it's incredible. I mean, I was living in a place called Battersea not that long ago, and there's a famous case over here known as the Battersea Poltergeist case, and there's a BBC podcast that's running at the moment on that particular thing. And yeah, so, you know, and that was a 10-minute walk from where I was living, and it's almost like I said once to friends. Yeah, it's like living with celebrities or going to locations that are really well known, and, you know, and actually reading about them, and then being only, you know, walking distance away, or a short bus ride or a short train ride away to some of these great spots, you know, that have got so much history and documented activity. I'm very, very lucky. I mean, I'd love to get to Enfield for the Enfield Poltergeist, but I think
there
will be that discussion. Yeah. But yeah, there's just so many different locations I want to go and check out. I've got a list already. So we come out of this lockdown, it's going to be lots of fun. Can't wait.
Yeah, just to be outside and investigating again. You know, how are you living in London? Or are you living outside of London?
Living in London still, yeah. So still in London, technically, yeah. So, but yeah, it's and again, it's such a great little central location, and it's, you know, quick sort of train rides into certain areas. But of course, it's been slightly changed of all this lockdown. But yeah, once it opens up, it's yeah, it's going to be great to actually explore more more of London from a spooky perspective. You do try and make the most of it. You go to sort of places outside and stand and go, oh, this building had this particular ghost, or, you know, the British Museum has got a haunted history to it, and it's a beautiful, beautiful old building here, and it holds some of the most exquisite, you know, historical artifacts. And I would love to get there in the middle of the night and just have the place to myself, but, you know, standing outside, you'll have to do for now. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Or even just to be able to get into the Tower of London and do like a nighttime investigation there by yourself or whatever. I mean, that would be insane.
Oh, that is, you know, when people say, what's the one location you would love to investigate that you know you can't get into? That's the one, because that would be incredible just from the person history perspective, not just from the ghost one, you know, the tower and the brothers and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, walking through the torture rooms and, you know, feeling how it feels in there, and just, yeah, it would just be incredible just to actually have that experience. And it's a beautiful old spot, such an old spot here in London as well. So just the human history alone, let alone what's happened there that we know of, would just be incredible. You know, if you spend months and months there, not just overnight, you know, you'd have to kick me out.
Yeah, I mean, you would just have that drive, that energy to continue and more and more and more, because it's so, so overwhelming. I mean, it's like going to Disneyland for a lot of people who just come from all over the world to go to Disneyland to experience it. But there, that would be like the Disneyland for paranormal investigators. Just, you want to go everywhere, every street, check out everything. That's great.
Yeah, I hear you. That's a great analogy, calling it the Disneyland of the paranormal. That's exactly how it feels. It'd be like a theme park.
Yeah, it's super exciting. Very cool. So for those of you who are listening to My Dark Sour, and we're talking to Beth Arlington, and we're talking about where she lives now, which is a great place in London. We've had a lot of people come on from the UK and talk about their experiences in some of these locations, and that's awesome. But for those who are listening that might be new to what's going on, can you tell them a little bit about how you got involved in the paranormal?
Yeah, sure. Ironically enough, about 12 years ago, I was living here for a couple of years, and I was doing the working traveling thing. And I was watching, yes, it was those paranormal TV shows at the time. I will admit, I've always been interested in it, but I didn't think that was something you could, you know, get involved in from a person-to-person perspective. I thought it was, you know, staying a night in a spooky place, but then there was ways in which you could see or find your own answers about what was going on if you'd experienced anything. So I went on the computer and I thought, I wonder if you can actually do what these people are doing on the shows. As I did, I realised you could, and it just opened up so many doors, because there was nothing like it in Australia where I was living beforehand. I thought, this is great. So every month for 2 years, I would travel somewhere in London and go and do a paranormal investigation with the London Paranormal Society at the time. I think they've now not started, they're not together anymore. And then, of course, I thought, you know, when it was time to get back to Australia, I thought, right, I'm going to get stuck into it and it's going to be the same. And it wasn't. I did some research. There were historical tours. There were ghost tours, but there was nothing of interactive paranormal investigating style events like they have here. So I was devastated. I thought, what am I going to do? You know, I feel like I've gone from having so much choice to having absolutely nothing. And of course, in Australia, there's nowhere near the same population. So if you wanted to go and do something similar, I might have to fly 4 hours somewhere to actually go and do that. And, you know, that takes time and money, and obviously with working as well. So I started up a website called accessparanormal.com, and it was just for paranormal investigators in Australia. And I had event listings and workshops that were happening all around the country, and public paranormal investigations, which was starting to be created because people were interested in this because of this particular shows, and they wanted to get out there and find their own answers and experience something. So I started that out, and it just grew from there. It's now an international website about online learning for paranormal investigators, because I know what it's like to be restricted in a location like in Australia, where you know, I want to learn from certain people, but I can't, or I want to learn more practical side of it as well, not just from a theory side of it. And so it just literally has grown from there. And that's where my biggest passion is. You know, I went and got training and development qualifications so I could roll out some information that can make it easier for people to, you know, some techniques and ideas and ways in which you can, you know, find your own answers, basically. And love it, love it, love it, love it. And obviously being able to mix that in with traveling all around the world and being able to pass on this information, it's just sort of snowballed from there, pretty much.
Wow. That's great, seeing those opportunities of what's not really happening and then creating that for you to open up those doors for a lot of people. Checked out your website, and once again, that's accessparanormal.com. And I see a lot of great resources for those who are looking for those answers on getting started. You know, they've got the passion, and they have an idea of what they're doing, so they're looking to take it to the next level. And I think that's great. I was just looking over your segment on insurance in Australia, you know, and a lot of people don't even think about investigations on needing insurance, but they have to realize that you're going to provide a service to somebody in a private location, so there is some liability there. So those are great things to think about. Any organized team would have something like that for being able to do that. So that's a great resource.
Yeah, it's and you say it's very important. It's, and no, some people might think it's boring. You know, oh, you don't really need to be insured. You'll be fine. No worries. It'll be great. You're saying it's great. No worries, mate. You know, it'll be fine. But it's, you know, it's best to always play it on the safe side. And it is that, it's that peace of mind, and the insurance scheme that's on my website is purely just for Australia, but it's affordable. And that's the other thing, you know, as investigators, 99% of the time we're investing our own money into it. But it's an investment in yourself, you know, sure you're safe.
Yes, exactly that, you know. And I know it says Australia only, but this is the place that you can call to get insurance and find out about. But every place has that ability, you know. You can find out what the places are requiring, and then some places they'll it's like, even like having an event, you know, you can get a 24-hour insurance for hosting your events. You can get better deals when you're doing private investigations. It just depends on what you're looking for and what you're trying to do, but there is definitely a good coverage. A friend of mine is Bishop James Long, and when I saw him a little while ago, he was talking about how he's an exorcist, so he has to go out and do this stuff. But, you know, their section of the coverage for the exorcist to go out there and do that, it was like $2 million or something in heavy like that, because they're dealing with the psychological aspects of their clients that they're trying to help. So you have to be really careful with that. So
yeah. Oh, yeah, there's another thing is when you're dealing with something as heavy as a possible demonic possession, then it's a whole level of seriousness that comes with it, not just a insured in case you break something in someone's home. It's actually something from a whole other mental and emotional perspective that you've really got to consider if that's something you want to take on. That's a very valid point.
Yes, and, you know, we were talking about the levels of exorcisms, and I'm known for a lot of heavy extreme cases, but when it comes to, like, you know, hardcore exorcisms and stuff like that, when it's like starting to look like, I look at all of those guys, I just call you when you go through that stuff, man, because I want to get that, you know. And people have practical issues because they're like that, so what hurts them or gets hurt, you know, you have to really be careful with that. The church has more money than they can.
Yeah, absolutely. It's again, it's a very specialized area, and a risk that, you know, a lot of investigators really, if they want to go down that path and you know, work alongside other people who are specialized in that, really have to think long and hard about it, because it's, again, you know, for me, some of the presentations and information I provide is an alternative explanation for possible demonic possession, which isn't always something that's happily received, I will admit. But, you know, we've got to look at early as well and figure out what's going on and the process of elimination before we actually start to think it could be something as heavy as that as well. So it's just being, you know, sort of common sense about it as well. But yeah, it's a very, very intense topic.
But the majority of us, there's just a lot of experience dealing with some spirits, and stuff like that, and always spend time hanging out with some of those spirits who are trying to still perform or talk about their days of dumb shit. That's always cool. You were talking about going to the Queen Mary's. I've been able to go there, and they've taken me in the same places where people don't normally get to go. And even to a place like that, you know, there's so much going on there. You're just overwhelmed and just love being in the environment because that's, you know, why we do this.
That's it. I loved the Queen Mary. It was we were very lucky because the guy behind the counter was a massive fan of the paranormal, Steve. And I think it was his break, and he had about sort of 20 minutes, and he even asked. We just thought, you know, if you don't ask, you don't get. So he actually took us down to the pool area, the shower area for 20 minutes. And, you know, sometimes that's what you've got. You've got 20 minutes. You make the most of it. And we had some really interesting things happen down in that particular section. And it's all on one of the podcasts that I have, Access Paracast. It's in one of the episodes of audio of what actually happened on that particular night. And it was, again, like you, as you said, you just do it all of it. It's like meeting a celebrity. It's the only way I can explain it. It's incredible.
Yeah, super exciting when something happens. You know, I took a picture of Jackie in Supercast dressing room, and she's like a shadow. It's like a shadow of a little girl. Picture, and I showed it to some people, and then some people started writing back and saying, hey dude, what about the lady standing next to her mom? What are you talking about? And then you look at the picture, and it looks like there's a lady standing next to her, another shadow, and you see her head's kind of turned, and it looks like she's like holding her hand. And I get the picture because everybody was at one end trying to make Jackie sing with them like everyone does. And I was a kid. If this was happening, where would I go? I would go to the far corner where there's nobody. I set up my camera and I said, we'll see. And I just casually just started taking that and I got that of them sitting in the corner. So it was really cool.
Wow. I know it's when I was there, they were setting up for Halloween. And as they had some of the sensors that go off, and one of them was of a little girl. And we knew that security were passing. They passed, I think, twice in the time that we were sitting there. It's a pool room with showers, so the sound bounces. You can hear very clearly from further away who's coming. So we were sitting there, and then one of the sensors, which of course was Jackie, based on Jackie and the little girl, and we're sitting there, and we heard that the security guy went past with, you know, his keys and all that sort of thing. And so he's well and truly gone. And it was deathly quiet for about maybe sort of 7 or 8 minutes. And then we hear the sensor go off saying, are you there? And that was it. And it was, and we knew no one was in front of the sensor to set it off. So, and it, just the voice that they chose, it was super creepy. But yeah, incredible, incredible experience.
Yeah, and if she likes you, she'll around the ship, because we went into the engine room and we were hearing her voice coming up in the engine room, and we're like, what are you doing in here? But that's cool. What a great
yeah, it was.
So are you working by yourself, or are you working with a team now? Are you still doing access or that's what you move?
Yeah, no, that's fine. I originally, when I first started out, I was actually part of a paranormal team for about a year and a half as their case manager. And that's kind of what sparked my interest as well, with private as residential cases. But I'm actually an independent paranormal investigator, so I will work alongside other teams. I know a lot of people, when I first mentioned that, were quite concerned because they thought that I was somebody that was going to places on my own and investigating, which I highly disagree with people doing from a safety perspective. It's really not something you should do at all. But I don't do that. When I say independent, it means literally just working alongside other teams or groups or events, people who create events as well, but also helping with cases too. So I'm part of the National Register of Paranormal Investigators here in the UK, and I go under their insurance. So if I ever, with ASIP, and so if I ever do a case or look on taking on a case, or they have a case referral, I'll actually go under their insurance and I work alongside with them with a particular case. So yeah, I really like the freedom of that. I like the fact that I learn a lot more from other people. I don't feel that I'm, because sometimes being in a team, you can't just suddenly go off and spend time with other teams all the time very closely. Sometimes people can feel a bit funny with that. I think being independent has really helped me be able to branch out and learn a lot more than just, you know, from being in a group and then sort of staying there. I've got to be all hats of a team. I've got to be a lead investigator. I've got to know my tech stuff. I've got to know a little bit of history if that's what I'm looking at as well, and interviewing techniques, all the different aspects of what it comes to investigating. I have to be good at all of that, let alone just one, specialize in one area or another. So I find it really good. It's challenging, don't get me wrong, but it's really good.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what it's about, you know. I started on my own, and then I started building a team, and that's great, and teams are used for certain things, but I always been able to branch off, and I started doing the radio stuff, and people started to follow the show, and that led me to be able to just me and my wife go to certain places and get a lot more freedom to just roam places, and people are more open to having you come out and just, you know, we'll let you guys in for a few hours. Let me know when you guys are done, that kind of stuff. We went to the Birdcage Theater, and I wanted to investigate it, and they just opened the door and said, "All right, come on in." And it's like, real cool, you know. And me and her were just in there by ourselves for hours. And it was like stepping back in time. It seemed like we were in there for an hour, but we must have been in there for a couple of hours, maybe 2.5 hours, because when we left, the guy was like, "Whoa, you were still in there?" I'm like, "Yeah," but it was an incredible experience. It's just us in there, quiet, when things are happening, you hear footsteps on the stage. It's not somebody else walking on the other level or something. It's just the freedom of being alone and having a tight investigation.
Yes, exactly. I think there's a term I created called paranormal playground. It just feels like you've got the whole place to play in, and there's no time restrictions. And particularly like with you, you've got to do it just with you and your wife. It's to have a location to yourself these days is just gold. It feels like a playground. You just get to try all these different things. Your reasons there. You can be completely selfish. You don't have to help someone figure out a problem. You can just go, "Oh, what about this? Or I've had this experience," and, you know, and explore that more. So I'd love to do the Birdcage Theatre. Oh, that would be just one of my top ones. I would love to go and do. I'm jealous already.
Oh, you gotta go there. That is so much fun. I mean, it's especially if you get to go there alone. I know they have those tours. You can pay $20 and everyone sits around a table and stuff, but it's not the same as just having the freedom of walking around and you're like the Black Mariah's in there, and you can try to get a photograph in front of it because say that little boy pops in your photo all the time, and you know, it's just the freedom of being alone in there with the entire place.
Yeah, and it's again like taking that opportunity when you can and appreciating it as well. It's rare, very rare.
Yes, absolutely. For those who want to find out more of what we're talking about investigating, if you're listening, I recommend going to access.com, and there's a lot of things that you can look up there, especially for those who are listening that are wanting to get started. There's actually learning educational stuff in there. Are these videos that you set up that people can log into and get that information?
Yes, it's all take me straight to the YouTube channel for Access Paranormal as well, so they're all linked in there. If there's the how to get started section, there's also a toolkit as well, which is all different links to free software and ways in which you can create your own audible experiments as well. So everything on there at the moment is absolutely 100% free and just links to video and information and topics, all different topics of things from animal spirits type stuff to, you know, if you're taking a case with or dealing with children and talking about having paranormal experiences right up to, you know, shadow people's. Is a very, very popular one. People who see shadows at the corner of their eyes, like, is there another explanation for that? So all different types of areas that you might come across when you do start looking at investigating. So obviously they're all up on there as well.
Paranormal equipment. Hey, look at that. P-Tech. That's awesome. He's sponsoring the show right now.
Oh, he's a great guy.
Yeah, Mike's amazing. I investigated the American Horror Story Mansion. I did the first investigation there, and he built some custom lights for me to use that just lit up everything in the dark. It was so great. You know, it's just amazing stuff.
Nice. He's a great guy, and I think I've still got some of his equipment. I even brought it with me, I think.
Excellent. He'll be like, he's listening to the show right now. What events? What's going on? What's coming up for you guys? Or for you? What's your next move when things are back to normal?
Yeah, when things are back to normal, a little. Yeah, as I said, it's obviously the UK at this point in time is still under national lockdown at least until probably the end of this month in February. At least I think it may go for a little bit longer personally. But apart from that, there's a couple of projects I've got in the wings, helping out, being a bit of a roving reporter for one particular website and magazine, which I won't go into just yet because those details have to be finalised first. So I'll be doing that. I've had locations locked away and ready to go, but of course we've had to put a pause on that. Finally, these great spots that I was able to assist somebody in investigating with, which I can't wait. I'm also at the moment have a booking with the Ancient Ram Inn here in the UK for July, I think, no, June, with a lovely paranormal team in Cornwall. I'm going to come up and we're going to head up there. So hopefully things will settle here enough for me to be able to do that. I've got a week's workshops to attend with ASSET in July. Again, hopefully things will be okay here. So there are a couple of things that are on the boil at the moment. But again, it's very much a lot more online virtual events that I'm helping out with and creating as well. So, yeah, as far as – and that's one thing I must admit I do really, really miss networking at events and seeing people, and it just makes that much of a difference as opposed to having it through a Zoom call. Say, for instance. So it's been tough from that perspective because I guess you could say it's my superpower is being able to network and chat and talk to people and you know, provide information that way. I'm very much a visual learner, so it's having to learn to do it through a laptop has been a little bit different, but you know, we just got to adapt as we should, and it won't always be like this forever. So yeah, there's a couple of things on the horizon.
Very cool. Yeah, it's gonna be great, and I miss that too. Events. I mean, that's where we all meet up with each other and share stories and talk about the paranormal, you know? And with that taken away from us, we're missing out those family reunions, and that's tough because that's where so many great things can happen. All that great paranormal investigative energy. I think that's great for investigations.
It is. And I think we're probably going to appreciate it all the more when things slowly creep back to some sort of social normality of some sort. I think we're going to really appreciate going out to locations a lot more, appreciate other teams, appreciate paranormal events a lot more than I think we did in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you going to come back to the States and do some more investigating when things...
Oh, of course I will. Last year was the first year in 8 years that it was 8 years in a row prior to last year that every year I would go to the States and go and check out a location with friends and go to a convention. So I'm itching to get back and check out a couple of locations. There's some conventions I want to look at going to if they go ahead. So yeah, I definitely, and I miss it. I really do. Sometimes I'll be watching a movie that's based in America and I'm like, oh, I wish I missed that part, or oh, I missed Vegas, or I miss Nevada, and I miss, you know, or the Midwest. And it's just, I really do miss it. I think, you know, I often call America my cousin country, and ironically I do have cousins that live there, but it does feel like a cousin country to me. It's like it's I always enjoy America. I always enjoy the people. I always enjoy the locations. And it's, again, from a different historical perspective of why these locations are possibly haunted, you know, what with the sort of, you know, American Indian energy there compared to what the laws were like when people were incarcerated, you know, how different they could have been and slightly, you know, different to what they are in the way that I'm finding out now compared to Australia. So it's, I like it because it keeps me international. It's like I've got a lot of experience in Australia. I'm gaining experience in the UK, but I still want to be able to learn a bit about what's happening in America as well. It's just fascinating.
Yeah, that's cool. And that's what's great about all these different countries that we can travel to. You know, there's different things have happened, you know, like, you know, Scotland, Ireland, there's like that whole Celtic thing going on and some of those old places that you can go investigate and search for even cryptids. I know, and it's strange, but I know people that have gone investigating there and they've actually swear they've seen like spirits and thought there were like leprechauns and these strange different beings there. I'm like, that's so interesting because you have that here with the Native Americans as well, like those Native spirits. There's some strange energies and creatures out there that people come across, and I think that's very interesting.
Well, it's the presentation I gave at Las Vegas Paracon was about the paranormal in Australia. So it was like, you know, what Australia has with Min Min lights and, you know, all the UFO, famous UFO cases that have come across over the years. And, you know, the rock paintings and yowies, you know, the rock paintings that are represented, you know, showing the fact that the Indigenous Australians are very much big believers in the fact there is the yowie out there. So, you know, talking about what makes our uniqueness with that.
Yeah. Have you ever seen one?
I've never seen one, but I think it's hard to say. Again, it's like saying, do you think you've ever seen a ghost? It's like, I can't be 100%, but I know I've definitely sensed something. I've had a rock thrown at my feet while we're walking back in the middle of the night, 2 hours away from any sort of area that was near people at all. That was very interesting. And we weren't near any cliff edges, and it was thrown through the trees. So you could hear it flying through the trees and then landed right near my foot. And I was at the end at that time. So then we were walking single file, so I was promptly moved to the middle of the line that we were walking in. So I've had that before. I've had wood knocks as well. I heard that's also a phenomenon as well, where they communicate where they are out in the bush. That's probably the closest from my experience, but I know other people that have experienced far more than that, where they've actually seen glowing lights that they think could possibly be eyes. They don't know. We've tried everything from using cat food smeared onto a log to try, and apparently I think bacon is their favorite. I don't know whoever found that out, if they've had any success, but you know what, we gave it a shot as well. We had why not try it out? So if you're feeding the wildlife of Australia by doing it, so, but yeah, it's I've had some interesting experiences. Definitely something is interesting happening out there. Whether it is a yowie or not, I don't know. But there's definitely something that makes me scratch my head 100% with what we experienced, for sure.
The yowie, that's just basically like our the North American. And a friend of mine has a ranch. I think it's in Tennessee. It's kind of back up to the Black Hills back there. So there's like a little forest area. And they have a lot of big Bigfoots being out there, or a family of them. And it's funny because you were mentioning the bacon for the yowie. He says, you know, I'll tell you, man, this thing comes down and it steps over my fence and it takes my hog. It took a pig. So it definitely takes pork.
Whoa, that's intense.
Out here, he's just like losing his hog, and he said, you know, I saw it, and he was like 14 feet tall, and he just picked up that hog, and I'm like, dude, that's crazy. But yeah,
absolutely. And the thing is,
go ahead.
As I said, since it's interesting where people say, oh, yes, it's silly to think of, you know, that these other, you know, cryptoids exist as something, you know, it's a load of crap, basically. And it's, well, you know, we've got to be open-minded. You know, we don't know everything about this world. We don't know we haven't scoured every edge of it. You know, the possibility of something like this existing can actually happen. How or what, we don't know. You know, people will say, oh, you know, I've never seen a dead one before. I'm like, well, maybe they're really good in their environment because they've had a lot of time to adapt. You know, like it's having an open mind about these things can happen. And like, as you mentioned, people have actually seen something, what's going on, what it is and how it got there, which, you know, that's kind of our job, really.
Well, someone saying that, you got to understand, in the forest, the woodlands, even in the desert, you know, these animals die, and there's a lot of animals out there, but we barely see them. We don't see their carcasses, like in the woods, and there's like wolves or coyotes. You don't come across their carcasses. So Bigfoot's going to be a little more than that, and they're not going to be leaving carcasses around.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And as I said, they're well tuned to their environment. That's why they've hardly ever seen them being elusive. You know, they can tell where we are far, far quicker than when we can tell where they are.
Yeah, they're better at it.
Yes.
Excellent. So, back to paranormal, can you tell us the most exciting experience that you had, whether it was at a private location or if it was at a historical location, tell us your top moment in the paranormal.
Whoa, geez. It's a tough one because it's like, as you can imagine, there's a combination of different ones. But I think the top one would have to have been, I'll have to say, undisclosed location in the Sydney area, I will say, in Australia. And it was an abandoned location we're lucky to have access to. And I was there with the paranormal team I was with at the time. And we had experienced some very interesting phenomena. Firstly, there was we could hear a trolley being rolled down the hallway. And we were the only people in the building, 100% the only people in the building. We had security outside. So that was the first thing. It was an audible experience that felt very human because it was footsteps as well as a squeaking trolley. And again, my mind opens up to why would something like that be happening then? You know, it's that perfect, you know, sort of paranormal lasagna of all these different layers of things happen. So you could experience that at that moment. So there was that. Then shortly after, it was like a succession of different things. So it was that. It was we actually had locks and bangs. Someone saw a shadow come out. You know how sometimes if you're in a location, it just looks like it gets the shadow gets darker than the actual dark outside. And they had that from like someone had like a hand to go and grab them, and they went to flinch, and there was nothing there at all. And as it was starting to build, so one of the people in our team started to change their persona, their personality. They just went very quiet. Their eyes were quite glazed. And then one of the other people that was sitting had their chair pulled out from under them. Someone's foot had something tapping next to it. So you could hear it like so almost like tapping on wood, but it was tapping on the side of their shoe. And then the person that was changing their behavior suddenly just switched and went running down the hallway as quick as they could in the pitch black, knowing exactly where they were going. And it took two grown men to pull them back, and they were still running past them. And one of them was a footy player, and in Australia, that's hardcore. So it was this succession of things that happened one after the other, and it just seemed to crescendo in that way. And we got that person outside the location. They were unwell afterwards, which I've been told is quite a common thing sometimes if people feel overwhelmed by something. And then literally after that, we packed up and left. That's how taken aback we were about what we experienced. It just seemed too much, too intense. And it's the first and only time I've ever wanted to leave a location because of activity as opposed to wanting to find out more. And I think it was just seeing somebody being affected that really kind of rattled me at that time. So, yeah, wow. That experience stays with me.
Interesting. And when someone's being affected by that, you know, and that's because you deal with mental health stuff because you're a qualified first aider, mental health first aider. And so when you're in a location like that, you see someone being affected like that, you're the first person that can start going through the level of what could be happening with that person.
Exactly. And I think it's, I highly recommend any paranormal investigator to do a mental health first aid course, because, you know, it's looking for, the, like you said, it's being a bit of a detector in the signs and symptoms someone's going through, but also having the tools to know how to get them to be okay or help them through the initial side of it and then point them in the right direction. But it really is a handy thing to have because, you know, even for friends of mine who do run a paranormal event, someone may feel they're having an anxiety attack if they've actually seen or sensed something, because not everybody's like us who run towards the dark when something happens. Some people do feel genuine fear and actually feel physically affected by it from a mental health perspective. So knowing how to help somebody who's having an anxiety attack is really, really, it's a life skill. It's up there with CPR as far as I'm concerned. And I think it's really handy for all investigators to understand or at least have that as a skill level. Because it's, again, we're dealing with emotions and fear, and sometimes that can trigger people who may already have a pre-existing mental health issue. So, I highly recommend any investigator if they can. And it is an international qualification. So there's one, I completed the one in Australia. I recently completed the one here in the UK as well because it relapsed. So I think you can do it, I think every 2 to 3 years, I think, from memory. But, and I know definitely in America they've got the same as well. So it's literally rolled out, it's the same information. But very, very valuable. Highly recommend it.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things for those who are looking at getting involved in the paranormal and helping people with their private investigations that we do and how to try to help people. This is one of those classes and courses you should definitely get a background in for the client, but for you and the other people on your team, you know, to kind of keep things in check from the perspective of what could be happening, because there's a lot of energy on these paranormal investigations. We have to keep a check on ourselves. At the same time, we're trying to work with the client. You know, and I always say that in investigations, we're not only trying to help the clients, but we're also trying to help ourselves, and we're also trying to help the spirit as well, because something's happening and we want to be finding out what it is that we can do to help everybody involved. So check that out. Look it up. Get that mental health background, first aid training, because it's only a win-win situation.
Absolutely. 100% agree.
Awesome. Those are some great things that I'm noticing about this. You know, we're talking about paranormal issues and getting that ground for it. We're talking about the paranormal insurance that teams don't even think about, that is very important as well, especially if you want to get to the level where you're putting on paracons or you're hosting events. Even at renting a location and hosting an event there, you want to be able to have all that background going, so it'll open more doors for you in the long run. With the insurance, people are going to let you in, trust you more, because they're more responsible about getting that done, which is very important.
Absolutely.
Excellent. What about your podcast? Still doing the podcast?
I am. It's taking a while because I've had to, obviously, you know, moving to the other side of the world takes a bit of time and sort of settling in.
Yes.
and with work. But I should be using this time of lockdown to actually be editing the rest of the files I had recorded when I did an investigation 2 years ago, admittedly. I know it's been a long time. So it's been about 2 years since I released the last one of our episodes. But yes, this will be about one of the locations that I investigated with a team called PACT, PACT, in Australia. We went out to a place called Wellington, which is right near Dubbo, which is probably about a 5-hour drive west of Sydney. And it's this lovely old hotel called the Wellington Hotel. And it was a very, very warm January day, because obviously our summer's being on this time of the year. And it was a great time. We had some really, really great stuff that happened. So I'm pretty much towards the end of editing that, and then I'm going to pull that together And then obviously there's a couple other great interviews that I've had as well with people in the last sort of year that I've managed to grab a hold on. So I will actually eventually start editing and pulling that together and getting back into it as well, because I really do miss it. And again, there's all the other previous episodes up on my website and also on SoundCloud too. So if anyone's ever interested, there's some previous investigations of me out sort of going through all around the country in Australia and also obviously in the US, as I mentioned before too, but and some great interviews. And like we said, you know, it's talking about what we love and investigating, and I just love taking people on that journey, because you know, travel also being a passion of mine as well as the paranormal, to be able to kind of combine both and explore these places and share them with everybody is, you know, it's a passionate thing of mine. But yes, the podcast will eventually get up and running soon. I just need to sort of allocate some time and get to the editing of these great files that I've got, and get them produced and get them ready to go.
That's excellent. I'm looking forward to that. When you're ready to go, you'll have to come back on the show and talk about that. We can let people know that that's ready to go and happen. That would be great.
I would love that.
Well, I know it's got to be late over there for you, and we're coming to the end of the show, so I definitely appreciate you hanging with us. Actually, what time is it over there?
It's creeping up to 5 a.m. on Friday morning.
5 a.m., wow. Well, thanks for staying up and hanging out with us. We really appreciate that. It's great to have you on the show, and like I said, I'm going to have you come back when you're ready to promote some more stuff, and it's been great talking to you and good catching up with you.
Yeah, it's been fantastic, and thank you ever so much. Had a great chat, as always, and yes, we have to do this again.
Yeah, when you come out to the California side, hit me up. I've got lots of contacts out here, so I can make some cool things happen.
Oh, man, sign me up. Sign me up, I miss it.
Sure, absolutely. All right, well, thank you, and good night, and everybody, once again, you have been listening to My Darkest Hour. We've been talking to Beth Darlington. Go to her website at accessparanormal.com. Find out a little more about what she does and how she can help your team get started and put it all together. So go ahead and check that out. I want to give a shout out to my sponsors, of course, the Mighty P-Tech. Paranormal Technologies, making those great lights for us to keep us from bouncing into anything that's going to hurt us in the dark. We do appreciate that incredible stuff. I want to thank Chili Man Salsa, another sponsor of ours, for making that incredibly delicious and hot salsa. You can tell it's hot by the ghost on the label. And Lizzie Wizzy's Crafty Creations, making those warm goods for us to wear when we're creeping through those insane asylums late at night and keeping us warm. Of course, I want to give a shout out to our new sponsor, Daniel's Toys. Go ahead and check out DanielToyEmpire.com for all things. There's my warning signal right there, so I will have to get going. Thanks to everybody at LivePanel.com, everyone at Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, iTunes, and of course History FM. And we will see you guys next week. So if you're going to go out there and investigate, make sure you investigate safe. If you investigate with somebody else, remember to wear a mask and social distance and be safe at all costs. So with that, be safe, you guys. We'll see you guys next week. And that's going to be it for the show. And you guys all have a great night.
This is John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox Sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, and you're
listening to... You are listening to My Darkest Hour with Stefan Brigati on LiveParanormal.com.
For joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interactive Media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.